You're listening to Studio 809 Podcasts. This is what community sounds like.
Welcome to Peak Environment, the Pikes Peak Region's podcast about environmental stewardship. This episode features the Sustainability in Progress monthly speaker program. It happens the third Wednesday of every month and is presented by the Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Sustainability in Progress, or SIP for short, for September 2025. I'm Mary Barber. I'm on the board of Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future. I'd like to welcome everybody, and we're so happy you could join us today to learn more and join the conversation about arts and culture in the Pikes Peak region. I'd like to say a little bit about Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future, or PASF. We host these Sustainability in Progress monthly. Typically, we do a Zoom at noon on the third Wednesday of the month. Peak Alliance is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that strives to promote regional sustainability in the Pikes Peak region and to advance the regional sustainability plan called Looking to Our Future, Pikes Peak Region 2030, or PPIR 2030 for short, finalized in 2012 after a three-year process of engagement with the community. The plan features stretch goals for 10 issues area: agriculture, arts and culture, built and natural environment, economic development, education, energy, health, materials management and procurement, transportation, and water quantity. You can download a copy of the plan from our website, peakalliance.co.org. Outreach, education, and awareness are a major focus of our work. Thus, we conduct these monthly events. And as I said, it occurs on the third Wednesday of the month, generally from 12 to 1 via Zoom. We're recording this event for an episode of Peak Environment Podcast. You can find Peak Environment on your favorite podcast app, including Spotify, or at studio809podcast.com, and you can also listen in on our website, again, peakalliance.co.org. I want to acknowledge that the land we are on is within the unceded territory of the Nuchu, meaning the people, also referred to as the Utes. Many other federally recognized sovereign nations, including the Kiowa, the Jicarilla, Apache, Comanche, Arapaho, and Cheyenne, also have historic ties to this place. The connection between culture and sustainability is not a new concept. Many indigenous cultures, for example, have long-held traditions and artistic practices that reflect a deep understanding of ecological balance and the interconnectedness of all living things. I encourage you to learn more about the legacy of these tribes and the traditional ecological knowledge that can inform our lives and jobs. All right, I think a lot of people hear the word sustainability and think environmental sustainability, but there really is more to it than that. Nature and the environment are a key component, but so are economy, individual well-being, and society or community. Social aspects of sustainability include things like availability, affordability, accessibility of childcare, healthcare, housing, and arts and culture, among others. The definition in the PPR 2030 plan demonstrates this idea. Sustainability is defined as acting in a manner that improves our quality of life by balancing economic vitality, a healthy, vibrant community, and mindful stewardship of natural resources and the environment for current and future generations. As I mentioned, the 2012 plan includes a goal regarding arts and culture. The goal and strategies in 2012 focused on diversity of arts, culture, and entertainment, innovation and attracting creatives, and economic vitality. Looking to our future, Pikes Peak Region 2030 relied heavily on the Copper 2010 Vision Plan, which has been updated since then, maybe twice. And I'm excited to talk with Ms. Angela Seals, Executive Director of the Cultural Office of the Pikes Peak Region, or COPPER. Welcome, Angela.
Hello, Mary. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. You are the Executive Director of the Cultural Office of the Pikes Peak Region, or COPPER. What else would you like to tell us about yourself, your journey, and how you came to being executive director?
Yeah, thank you so much. I've worked in arts management for 25 years. I came to Colorado Springs in 2013. And the first place I worked when I moved here was the cultural office. Oh. So I've been there for 12 and a half years. Mm-hmm. I was deputy director for a long time. And in 2022, in December, I became the interim executive director and later the executive director. So I've known every executive director of the cultural office in its 19 years. And it's been a great joy of my life to serve this arts and cultural community in El Paso and Teller counties. I was also project manager on Arts Vision 2030, which was the second cultural plan for the Pikes Peak region. Okay. We do one each decade. So that first one you mentioned, 2010, was the first one. And then in 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic, we did the second. So we're in that decade now in the cultural community. And it's, I think, wonderful that the Peak Alliance for Sustainable Futures plan is 2030 and Arts Vision 2030 align. And they were clearly all looking at each other as they're being formed. So even though you and I are meeting in person for the first time today, people have come before us who have seen for a long time the deep connection between environmentalism and arts and culture. And we stand on those strong shoulders as we build the future here.
Yeah. We've had Andy Vick on for a few times, usually about this time of the year, because Arts Month is October. We always like to help you promote that in our discussion.
That's right. October is National Arts and Humanities Month across the United States. And the Pikes Peak region has one of the largest celebrations of it. We celebrate all month long with over 200 events. And people can learn more about Arts Month here at artsoctober.com. This year, we have a brand new initiative, the Arts Month Digital Passport. And you download it to your phone. Mm-hmm. And then there's over 60 locations all over the region. Some of them are venues, galleries, concert, you know, sites, but others are pieces of public art and things that are outside as well. And it checks you in when you're at each of those places, and you can win prizes. And the grand prizes is really fabulous this Arts Month. So I'd encourage everyone to hop on artsoctober.com and download the new digital passport and let that help you explore more about the arts community here.
Nice. So does it do that automatically? So if I go to a sculpture or something, it will automatically...
I think you have to open the app on your phone, and then it checks you in. Or you can check in right there. But it tallies where all you've been and keeps score for you, and you earn badges, and then you can earn different tiers of prizes. The main grand prize of the Arts Month giveaway at the end includes a night at the Mining Exchange, a gift certificate to the Ent Center for the Arts, paint with a sloth at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, which is a beautiful enrichment program they do with the animals. And over the years of Arts Month, we've found that people love that connection between the animal world and expression, and then also some local goodies and gifts from Cottonwood Center for the Arts and other places. So you just download it, it's free. And we were looking for a tool where we could really inspire people to participate, not just in the things they usually do, but challenge them to explore and try new things during Arts Month. That really is the spirit of the whole celebration across the region, is to get out there and try something you haven't tried before and understand the broad diversity of our creative sector.
Do you use the data and information that you gather to inform your strategic vision? Is that part
excited about with this tool, right, is that it would allow us to see. We've asked, this is the 12th year of Arts Month here, and so every year we do a survey where we ask people, did you try one new thing? And 80% or more of people say they do. But we'd really like to see the data, as you're saying, Mary, about the economic impact that is generated by Arts Month. Mm-hmm. And the Cultural Office increasingly leaning into economic development of the creative sector and helping people understand that there are 550 arts and cultural groups across the region. They're a mix of entities. They're volunteer groups, they're clubs, but they're also creative businesses and mm-hmm. nonprofits, and they need our support right now. And so we thought that the passport would be a really great way of more intentionally directing economic activity into the sector and then being able to measure that.
Well, that was part of the 2010 yeah. strategic vision, so I'm presuming maybe you've carried that forward
yeah.
and continue
yeah,
to work on that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, growing the sector, growing cultural participation is important for so many reasons. One of the things I'll say is I really love that this environmental plan is so aware of the interconnectedness between all of these arenas of life. Because mm-hmm. we're very aware of that too in Arts Vision 2030, that you really can't separate quality of life from economic activity, from spirituality, from education, from mental health, right? All these things are interrelated. And if we try to solve them in very separate ways, we will only be partially successful. And so that interconnectedness, I think, is a real gift. And what was your initial question? Help me connect back. Why was I saying that?
I'm just curious how or if the current strategic plan has changed from 2010, if
yeah.
at all.
Oh, absolutely. All. Yeah. So Arts Vision 2030 acknowledges all those connections, but leans a lot more into some key areas. Arts education, economic development, development of the destination, because tourism is one of the largest economic drivers in our region. Ah, that's where I was going. Cultural participation is so connected to the health of our community and also to the health of the sector, right? Mm-hmm. That's the earned revenue. That's the things that drive this forward. We're all used to hearing public radio say, you know, you are why we're here and you support us. Well, that's true of every single ticket you buy to a local venue, mm-hmm. every item you buy from a local maker. The galleries, I just have to say, we have a gallery guide every fall with over 60 local galleries. Please, please buy creative, buy local at those local galleries, because you're driving that family-owned small business of the gallery, and then you're supporting the maybe 30 or 40 different artists who sell there. So mm-hmm. a lot of people think in a very kind of consumeristic way, right, just about what they want when they're shopping or what they want to do on a date night, and don't think about that next step. How are we using our dollars to support the kind of community we really want to have now and in the future? And so if we want to have a Colorado Springs that is really vibrant and that our children grow up and want to stay and work and have a vibrant life here alongside us, if people want to retire here and have a vibrant life, then we have to support the things that offer that type of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we do that every Saturday night when we vote with our dollars.
Buying local, that's a big part of sustainability. Now, we typically think about that, I think, as buying material goods that are shipped. And so you have the transportation aspects mm-hmm. that impact environmental sustainability and infrastructure and everything. So sure. buying local, that is really important.
That's true. Another fun example of local, I brought some examples to talk about today the real intersection between arts and environmentalism today mm-hmm. in our community. So what you just mentioned about the items and supplies and purchases we make reminds me of Who Gives a Scrap, which is a creative mm-hmm. business that is located at 8th Street and Arcturus Boulevard. And they are a resale shop for art supplies mm-hmm. and craft supplies and education supplies and all kinds of, I mean, it's where I get all my wrapping paper, okay. you know, like it's right. every button, you know, that I need. And it's all people come in and donate, and it's redirected from a landfill into this wonderful shop that is all merchandised and fun to support, and really helps local educators, really helps folks who are working with young people, with elders, and looking for craft supplies and art supplies, also local artists. And so that creative business is a social impact business that is advancing environmental stewardship while at the same time meeting a supply need of our arts community. And then they don't have to go to Hobby Lobby or, you know, Michael's. They can just set up that sacred cycle right here in our community.
Yeah, it's a good place for if a person has excess materials that they no longer want.
Yes, please go donate.
Scrap fabrics or
Absolutely.
Anything like that, they can donate there.
Yeah, and you know that whoever buys that is going to transform that into something magical.
Mm-hmm. They've been around for a few years. Mm-hmm. We've had them speak at previous SIPs, but it's been a while. Mm-hmm. And they've moved a few times too, I think, since then. But
they keep growing.
At 8th Street and
Now they're at 8th Street in Arcturus. They've been there a couple of years in the strip mall there. And now they have a huge amount of space, and they also offer classes and other things.
Yeah. I've seen stained glass, notices. So they do have a Facebook presence, so you can kind of follow them along there if you're interested.
So stewardship can be creative and fun and loud and colorful too.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to mention that I'm involved also with the Fountain Creek Watershed District.
Very good.
I'm aware of Jerry Cordova and some of the things that the Stormwater Enterprise in the Springs has been doing. And one of those is to highlight storm drains.
That's right.
With artwork, and helps people to understand where their water is going and where stormwater from streets and so forth.
Absolutely.
Passes.
Storm drain art project is maybe a decade old at this point, and it commissions local artists and creatives to make murals right on top of those drains around the city of Colorado Springs. It's a great example of how the arts help us see differently, because we walk by drains all the time. But until you see a really colorful mural with fish on it, do you make that connection between dumping out your Mountain Dew and maybe harming a fish? So it's a wonderful way the art's being integrated with these issues.
Yes, and a way to help make the Fountain Creek an amenity in our community.
Absolutely. And I'm so excited about all the plans for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you mentioned a couple things. What are some other accomplishments or something you're proud of that Copper has accomplished in the last year or two?
Well, we talked a little bit earlier about the economic development angle. You know, I think for the first 17 years or so of the Cultural Office's story, and we are a nonprofit that serves creatives across El Paso and Teller counties, and we're not membership-based, so we're here for everybody. A lot of our initial understanding of ourselves was advocacy and leadership, and also amplification. So the first thing the arts community asked for was help with marketing. And so we created peakradar.com, which is now a huge kind of marketing platform for finding arts and entertainment all across the region. But about 3 years ago now, we made a strategic shift to add a creative economy program to Copper. Okay. We realized that we can't just be amplifying. We also have to be building the capacity inside the sector to rise to the challenges and opportunities of a fast-growing region where a lot of the rules are changing as the population grows and as the economy evolves. And so we've been doing a lot more work in the past 2 years through a program called Level Up inside of our Creative Economy program to offer great speakers, summits and half-day conferences, and even something as relevant as update your LinkedIn page. How do you create a great LinkedIn page as an artist so that people could find you? So from little things to great big things, working on supporting the growth of this sector here in the Pikes Peak region and doing things that stimulate the economic vitality of the sector, like our Buy Creative campaign, which happens over the holidays, which I already kind of name dropped, and then Arts Month in October. Because if these things are going to continue to be such a gem in our crown, we have to feed them. we have to feed them. And we realized that some of that was driving cultural participation, but not only. We also have to be alongside those leaders and small business owners and entrepreneurs. I say, this is the next step. Now, this is the next step. Scale, scale, scale. So that they can serve more people and be part of more parts of our regional life, like the environment, like mental mm-hmm. health, like education.
Do you feel or think that the comment that I made about availability and affordability and accessibility,
sure.
do you think that is making progress throughout the region?
Well, in the years since, certainly since 2012, when the environmental plan was last done, the affordability change in this market has mm-hmm. been dramatic. We've also been seeing a lot more creatives moving into our community because they're getting priced out of the communities to the north. And so it's worse above us, and so that's been a benefit. Now we don't want to lose those creatives as the prices continue to rise. Art Space is a new live-work development that's been under construction for a couple years in the downtown creative district, and it'll be opening at the beginning of 2026.
Oh.
And that is affordable housing for artists and creative workers right in the downtown creative district. The prices there are getting quite high, and yet the district thrives on those workers and those artists being in the mm-hmm. district. And so programs like ArtSpace are intended to help the affordability crisis and retain the creatives who are part of what makes those communities so desirable.
Is there also support for community members to participate through discounted tickets or anything in that order?
Yeah, many of our arts groups have a variety of programs, not only on donation-based tickets or on sliding scale tickets, but also special ticket prices for veterans, for teachers. One program I really love at the Colorado Springs Philharmonic has discounted tickets for caregivers. Mm-hmm. Which I think is just so in tune.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us are caregivers at some point in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be the generation above you or below you or your partner. And so to be able to go and participate in a concert in a way that is not without a financial barrier and receive the nourishment from that, I think is really a wonderful program of the Philharmonic. There's also been a real increase in free outdoor performances. Every summer, we have about 25 different concert series across our region in parks. So any night of the week, you can find a free outdoor summer concert in a park near you. Mm-hmm. We publish a guide to all of them at peakradar.com. That's a great example of getting people out in nature. Everyone lives here because they want to be out in nature. But to add that other layer of local live music and connecting with your neighbors while you're out, getting some food from a food truck, which mm-hmm. is also a small business. I mean, those free outdoor concerts are such a beautiful intersection of so many things, as well as like Shakespeare in the Park that Theater Works has been doing the past few summers, totally free for all Shakespeare.
Great.
All around the region. So yes, I think the arts community has been demonstrating a lot of adaptability to meet people where they are.
Yeah, you mentioned the concerts. I've been to some at the Fountain Creek Nature
yes.
Center.
Yes,
and
yeah.
So you have access to the trails there and to their displays and things mm-hmm. inside the facility. So I'm familiar with the
outdoor
concerts.
Great, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you're taking advantage of it.
Challenges and opportunities. Mm. What do you think might be missing
yeah.
that's not available here that you would like to maybe encourage mm-hmm. or support, or any other challenge or opportunity you see for copper and for mm-hmm. arts and culture in the Pikes Peak region?
Totally. Well, I'll mention one of the findings of the Arts Vision 2030 Cultural Plan was the inequitable access to arts education across our region. So we've also created a program at Copper for arts education to try to learn how to be a hub across the 17 school districts that fragment the educational scene across our community mm-hmm. and unite arts educators across all those districts into a single community of practice. And as we've been doing that, helping them meet each other, helping them learn how to work with the arts community, we've also been hearing a lot about mental health. And how much of the strain of mental health in our young people right now is showing up in art class, because that's where you feel safe and where you can express those things. Right. Yeah. And so the arts teacher started telling us we need more tools to help with this. And so last winter, we launched Addressing Trauma Through the Arts course for educators, which has completely taken off. So I would, anyone who's interested in this out there, I would encourage you to hop on culturaloffice.org, check out this brand new program. We're selling out every workshop. We just spoke at a national conference last week about the work, how the arts help the brain to regulate, help resiliency in our brains, help us build relationships in ways that can really help in the educational spaces, and not just with children. Mm-hmm. Like, all of us need to be handled with grace, right? And right, creativity right. and support. So that's a challenge. I mean, mental health in our community is a particularly hot topic. We have an extremely high suicide rate in El Paso County, and youth suicide rate is going up. And so I think programs like this are a great example of where arts are working right alongside clinical workers, right alongside people right on the front lines of mental health, of education, of veteran services. You know, I think the arts are embedded throughout our community in a lot of ways we don't think of when we just think of it as entertainment. Another challenge that I'll point out is I bet you see this too, Mary, in your work in the world of sustainability, is as more and more new people move in here, how do we create belonging and care for this place? Mm-hmm. And I believe the arts have a really pivotal role in helping people understand where they are and making them want to get more involved. If you move many times, as many of our military families do, mm-hmm. or many people do now through their lives, you may move from neighborhood to neighborhood in different mid-sized cities and eat at the exact same restaurants, shop at the exact same shops, because they're national chains. Mm-hmm. And so I think continuing to push against that culture in the United States and toward local flavor, creative placemaking, connection, that's what the arts and what the environment invite us to do, is get situated in our landscape and feel it, to meet each other and feel it, and to participate in a real way that is different than any other place you might live. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a real pressing need in our region right now, is to kind of wake people out of consumerism and deepen their connection with each other. And that's part of why I love working in arts and culture.
You sound very excited and motivated.
Well,
I appreciate that.
I have never been accused of being dispassionate, so it comes across. But I know a lot of listeners out there who care a lot about the environment are also very passionate. Mm-hmm. We need people who are passionate and not rage-filled, right? Yeah. We need solutions people and bridge people right now.
Yeah, collaboration, partnership, that's so important. Yeah. So I'm assuming that you do interact with the Fine Arts Center. I know they have some art classes and things that they do there, and the Ince Center for the Arts you've mentioned.
Absolutely.
Anything else or anyone else you want to call out?
Thank you, Mary. There are two other groups I wanted to highlight for our environmental community listeners. Concrete Couch has been working on a public park called Concrete Coyote in Lower Downtown, where they rehabilitated 7 acres of industrial land. And they opened as a creative adventure park in 2023. If you have not yet visited Concrete Coyote, it is at 1100 South Royer Street. And it is a really magical place now. They're offering workshops and community builds all the time. There's a pump track. There's lots of trails to hike. You can learn to pot. You can learn to use hand tools. I mean, it is a lively, community-centered place right there on in Hillside. outside and deeply connected to reclaiming the environment. Mm-hmm. So please check out concretecouch.org and support that group, because they are really a gift to us all and are doing important work in land reclamation. The second group I'll point out is Smoke Brush Center for the Arts, mm-hmm. which probably a lot of listeners are familiar with. But several years ago, they moved, in fact, in 2018, they developed in Manitou Springs the Red Crags Art and Agricultural House, and they now have Smoke Brush Farm. And so this wonderful intersection between the arts, concerts, retreats, farm-to-table dinners, workshops. And so it's all about health and wellness, connection to food, connection to personal expression, and a really lively hub right there in Manitou Springs, Colorado, where the environment is part of creativity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't aware that they had the farm.
Yeah.
So that's something.
You see some animals.
And yeah.
Their farm-to-table dinners, they do some incredible themes. So it's not all the usual suspects.
Yeah.
And you can try different dinners with foods from around the world, which is, we've been talking a lot about arts, but culture is also about our heritages and different parts of the world, right? And increasingly, our community is more and more diverse in heritage. And so it's wonderful to see the food, particularly the food scene in Colorado Springs and Manitou and El Paso County, becoming more and more diverse. We have a wonderful arts group that works with Afghan refugees, Imagination Celebration. And I know they've been doing a new fundraiser with cooking and Afghan food. I mean, I think food is a way of bringing people together across mm-hmm. cultural divides. And what is more important than that right now?
Yeah, and support our local farmers
and local farmers. Yes, because as we were talking about at the beginning of this conversation, all of this is interconnected.
Yes. Okay. So, anything else you'd like to mention? I think maybe you wanted to talk a little bit more about Arts Month.
Right. So, well, let's just circle back to that. So just encourage everyone to, since we are here right at the end of September, Arts Month is right in front of us. So just encourage everyone to get out there this October. In 31 days, there'll be over 200 events for you to experience. You can find them all at artsoctober.com. And please download that new digital arts passport and let us see where you explore this October and take a friend with you.
And be sure you download that app. And
yeah, it's kind of an experiment. I mean, they do this with crafts and drafts in our community to promote the local breweries, and it is wildly popular. So we're very excited to be partnering with Visit Colorado Springs using the exact same tool now to spark excitement about arts and culture.
Yeah. All right. What else would you like us to know?
Well, I guess just mention that the cultural office is in kind of a big moment where we're about to open our brand new office.
Oh.
So as yes, you and important. I speak, the cultural office has been in Plaza of the Rockies in the downtown creative district for 19 years, thanks to a very generous donation from Norwood. And we purchased our own office in lower downtown in the Lowell neighborhood, right across from a park, which we're excited about concerts, Mary.
Yeah,
you'll have to come
yeah,
see
yeah.
your concert. And the grand opening of that will be in the middle of Arts Month. But it is going to be a new crossroads for regional leaders and creatives to come together. We'd love to have an event about sustainability sometime at the new cultural office so we can chat about that
good.
And environmentalism. And really, it is a new home for the whole creative community. And so look for us at the corner of Weber Street and Fountain Boulevard by mid-October. We'll be up and running. And from that point on, just using that as a hub for this type of work, these kinds of great conversations that we've been having today about how creativity weaves into so many other values we hold as a community and many goals we have.
Yeah, I think arts and culture helps us to raise awareness mm-hmm. of complex topics
it's
that
true.
People might not understand or
opens
or
our
even
minds
think about.
Yeah, and ears. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can hear each other better through music or mm-hmm. through a film like Rocky Mountain Women's Film Festival is coming up in October too, right? And that's a great documentary festival. So many different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And it can open us up at a time when it's very easy to feel self-protective and not want to be open to other ideas. In fact, one of our slogans for Arts Month is unite your world with the arts. We were doing reveal your world and open your world. And we decided we should say unite with the arts for Arts Month, because a lot of what people are feeling is that separation right now. So if anyone out there is listening would like to learn more about the work of the Cultural Office, I invite you to come explore more at culturaloffice.org and get involved. And I'd also encourage you out there, if you're listening to the podcast today on Studio 809, that you would also support the Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future. I just want to give them a plug, because this is really important work in our community. And it really is inspiring, these grassroots efforts by neighbors to come together and really lead progressive thinking about who we, not only how big can we be, but how soulful and responsible and connected and real can we be. Right? And that's a great place where arts and environment connect.
So participating in activities of the arts community is one way we can support. Volunteering, I presume, with various organizations like...
Yeah, you know, I'd be remiss if I only talked about Arts Month and not how you can be involved all year. The point is that October is just a spotlight. And actually, these things are out there all year long to do. Yeah. We have almost 3,000 events a year on peakradar.com. That really is the hub year long. And Peak Radar now has an opportunities board. So if you'd like to volunteer, if you'd like to sit on a board, if you'd like to be a docent at a local museum, those types of things are all now at peakradar.com/opportunities. You can also learn more about arts education through a new branch of Peak Radar, all about workshops and classes. So if you'd like to take a class on improv, loosen up a little bit, or if you'd like to take your child to learn to play an instrument, all of that's now at a one-stop shop, peakradar.com/artsed.
That's a lot of work trying to keep something like that current
and
available.
It is. But that's a big part of what we do at the Cultural Office, is try to be that centralizing connection point for the community. Because when there's 550 groups out there all doing their own thing on their own Facebook page and on their own website, it can be hard to find. And so we try to make it really easy for the community to connect in any way that feels comfortable for you. Mm-hmm. And the tool to do that throughout the year is peakradar.com. And then kind of from there, you can scroll and there's guides, there's travel itineraries. We just came out with our theater guide for the fall. So throughout the year, there's all different kinds of themes that you can explore and find something that works for you. It's okay if classical music isn't your thing. Maybe you love stand-up comedy. Maybe you really love street art. Maybe you really love dance. Or maybe you don't think of any of those things, but you love a history lecture. You know, all of that is on Peak Radar, because all of that is in our community. Anywhere people live, there is arts and culture. You just have to find it, and we try to make that easy.
Yeah, great.
This has been a wonderful opportunity, and thank you so much for the work that Peak Alliance for Sustainable Future does, and everyone out there listening, thank you for what you're all doing to make our city greener, to steward the goodness that we all enjoy. I hope to see you out in seats at a theater, or run into you at a First Friday art opening sometime soon, especially during Arts Month.
Thank you. You can follow the Sustainable and Resilient Pikes Peak Region Facebook group to stay informed about the region's sustainability progress and share your efforts and opportunities. And we post announcements of our events on that group Facebook page, so please visit us frequently. If there are friends or colleagues you wish were here for today's presentation, don't forget this will be available as the next episode of the Peak Environment Podcast. So recommend that to your friends. I want to thank Studio 809 Podcast for making this happen, in particular, Mr. Dave Gardner, who's here producing our recording, and also to Pikes Peak Permaculture for supporting Peak Environment. You can visit pikespeakpermaculture.org for opportunities to learn about sustainable organic living through permaculture, including workshops, classes, field trips, and networking. Mark your calendars for the next SIP. It's going to be on October 15th. And in fact, this SIP will be hosted by Pikes Peak Permaculture. So stay tuned for more information about that event. And again, please feel free to check out our website at peakallianceco.org. And Angela, you want to mention your website one last time?
Sure. You can learn all about the Cultural Office at culturaloffice.org and celebrate Arts Month at artsoctober.com.
All right. Thanks for joining us for this month's Peak Alliance for Sustainable Futures Sustainability and Progress Speaker Series. I truly appreciated and enjoyed our discussion.
I enjoyed it too, Mary. Yeah, thank you.
Let's keep it going.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to Peak Environment. This episode was courtesy of Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future. For more information, visit peakalliance.org.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival, or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.